Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, when was the last time you were really surprised by something? I mean, taken aback, something that caught you completely off guard in some way or other, positively or negatively, surprised. Because surprise comes in many different forms. And on the first Sunday of Advent, it's a good moment to say, when have I ever been surprised? 2 weeks ago, one of the deacons said, well, come on down, we've got a little meeting, we want you to stop in for a moment. So I marched down on a Saturday morning, opened the door, and there was all the deacons, virtually of the whole archdiocese, and their wives, to say happy retirement, to give me a Kindle reader. I was thrilled with the suggestion. It completely caught me off guard. 3.5 years ago, I was driving to a confirmation in Dodge County. The road had recently been, the highway been reconfigured. John Worgan, deacon, was driving. And I said, John, the road we want is over there. So we started there. I said, John, there was a stop sign there. There was a stop sign there. And a truck came and hit the car. And the next thing I knew, we were in a field somewhere. The whole car was in a field, and within a half hour, I was in the emergency room in Hartford. They took very good care of me, and John was dead. You know, surprises come in very, very different ways and catch us off guard. But this is a day when we're invited to think about surprises. A birthday party. Walk into the house, someone says, stop in for a drink. So you say, all right, fine. And turns out the house is full of people and the cars are parked 3 blocks away and you didn't have a clue that there was anybody there because it was all dark. Or the boss says, come on into my office for a moment this afternoon. And you walk in and he says, things are tough. Your job is eliminated, effective today. Holy smokes. Holy smokes. Again, they could be positive, negative. Someone says you won a lottery. You get a phone call that says you got a scholarship, full scholarship in college. I had a phone call once. Monsignor Gressel called me. I was a second-year collegian, and he said, the Archbishop decided that there's an opening in Rome. Would you be willing to go? It's 6 years. Holy smokes. Everything changes all of a sudden. Or a doctor's report after tests. Well, it looks like it's cancer. Then you think about things and you reevaluate everything. Assimilate the information, try to sort out what the implications may be. Almost in every case, those kinds of surprises, positive, negative, it's like the end of something and the beginning of something else. I'd like to point out that Advent, this season, every year I do it in some fashion or other, there are three things that are necessary for the Advent experience. Three things. First of all, there has to be a really tight spot of one kind or another, whatever it may be, a tight spot. And secondly, the realization that there is nothing that we can do, we're helpless in it, and a conviction, a confident trust that God will somehow get us out of this or through this in God's time and God's way. When those three things are present, you know what? It's Advent. Now, that could happen in March. It could happen in June. It could happen in September when we're caught in something that is overwhelming and we know there's nothing we can do, but we trust that God will take care of it in God's way. It's Advent. And if it's December, which is normally Advent, and those three things are not present, then it isn't Advent. It's just December. That's all. Another month before Christmas. It's not Advent, really. Today we've got three readings. Each one makes its own contribution to at least setting us on the journey toward the experience of Advent. First of all, that reading from Isaiah. It's a wonderful reading. Part of it is inscribed, as we all know, on the wall of the United Nations about swords refashioned into plowshares. But it's not just about changing tools, but it's about whole societies. So that instead of a society that's organized economically upon military aggression, it's changed into a society that's organized around agricultural nutrition. Well, it's a massive, huge change. And curiously enough, the very same passage, word for word, is also found not only in Isaiah, but also in Micah. With one exception, in Micah, there's added a phrase that all these nations that will come up to Jerusalem to seek instruction and to be reshaped and reformed. Micah says, each nation will bring its own God. Oh, really? So somehow there's a place in Micah's vision and in Advent for some kind of interreligious relationship that just gets bigger because God is bigger than anything we could imagine. So that's the first reading from Isaiah. And then that wonderful second reading from Romans, to wake up, to be attentive, to be more alert. And then the insistence of Matthew on the suddenness of God's intervention, the surprise that catches us off guard. How does one be prepared for the unexpected? That was a question I thought about this week. How do you prepare for what you don't expect? Well, you can't really, because by definition, it's not expected. So how do you prepare for it? In Christianity, children are lifted up as models for us. As models for us. Oh, watch little children. Here, unless you become like a little child, we're told several times in the gospel. Models for us in the sense that they are unabashedly dependent. They have no qualms whatever about holding your hand across the street. They're dependent. Unabashedly dependent. They hold your hand. That's not a problem. And they're also curious. They want to learn. Why are you doing that? What are you doing? They ask lots of questions because they're curious. And that's a model for a disciple who wants to keep learning all the way through life. You never stop if you're a good disciple. They want to help. How can I help you? Well, yes, you say. Grandmas and grandpas particularly, sure, they make a mess. They make things harder to do, more complicated. But they want to help, and that's a wonderful thing. And they're also innocent. I thought about that too. Innocent. The Latin word means unhurt. So they still haven't been hurt by society, and they're therefore not wary about what this means or what it could do. There's something special about that. They're so focused on the moment that they invest themselves emotionally and attentively into whatever it is they're doing. That's why they move from laughter to tears so immediately, because it's whatever is the right moment, whole, completely present. And they're impatient. Are we there yet? Because they're invested in wherever they are or where they want to be. And as a result of all of those qualities, they often can be completely unaware of surroundings and therefore open to surprises. Open to surprises. Children can teach us to be open to surprises. To be an adult is to hold all of those things in spiritual maturity, is to hold all of those things, but also to be aware of the larger picture. Because there always is a larger picture. So to be an adult in Advent, a Christian adult with spiritual maturity, and maturity is not measured in years, but it's measured in grace, I suppose, or other things, is to be grateful for everything. Not to take anything for granted. The gospels of people involved in eating and drinking and marrying and giving and being given in marriage. So personal sustenance and also relationships. But a spiritual adult is grateful for all of those. Doesn't take it for granted. And a spiritual adult, mature adult spiritually also, therefore, is attentive, because I'm convinced one cannot be grateful unless one is attentive. How can you be grateful for what people do for you or us or me if I'm not aware of what they are doing or what it might cost them? People, little kids, are not always aware of the sacrifice their parents make, saying, well, I don't need a new coat this year, or I never did like chocolate, or whatever the issue is. They can't be really grateful if you don't know what the cost is to other people. So to be grateful, spiritually mature, grateful for everything that comes into life, is to be attentive. And to be attentive to the way in which God enters our lives. We prepare for the unexpected by being conscious of God present in everything. Gospel talks about one taken and one left. That's the origin of the doctrine of rapture. Some people lifted out of existence and taken to the next world. I playfully say, when I walk around the corner from my office and go into my wonderful secretary's office, Sharon, if she's not there, I say, I think the rapture just occurred. She's taken and I'm left. I don't know what happened. But the real meaning, I suggest, to that one taken and one left is that God's intervention that surprises us is individually shaped, so that each one of us is shaped by God's intervention. Each one of us is caught by ourselves, our uniqueness. God deals with each one of us. I think of Janet, my supervisor, at the archaeological expedition at Gezer in Israel. Every morning, 4:30 in the morning, we'd march off, five of us in a small group, assigned to 4.5 meters by 4.5 meters, going down 3/8 of an inch by 3/8 of an inch. And we'd say, Janet, what are we looking for? And she'd become furious. She'd say, we're looking for everything. If you decide in advance what you're looking for, you won't find anything. So we're looking for, you'll miss everything else, she would say. It's Advent. We're looking for every single sign of God at work in our world. And because we're adults, we know there's always a bigger picture than what looks at first sight. And because we're part of this society, I guess we can say there's a red bucket and a bell, a Salvation Army ringing at every single moment, an invitation to be generous or just or kind or compassionate or forgiving in ways we hadn't anticipated, and God enters our lives in so many different surprising ways. It's Advent.